Jesse Corcoran Podcast.
Welcome back to Late Night, everybody. So every year around this time, Fox News loves to get their viewers riled up with fake Halloween conspiracy theories, like when they claim people were swapping our kids' cheap candy with expensive weed gummies, or, you know, rainbow fentanyl is now a thing. But to keep things fresh, they've also come up with some new ones for 2022. We're going to run through them now in a segment called Fox News' Halloween Fearmongering. It's now Mrs. Goodbar. Biden wants to defund all kids dressed as police. There have been reports of needles found in apples. Even worse, the needles contain the vaccine. Mike and Ike are trying to adopt. 100 grand bars now cost 200 grand due to inflation. White chocolate has to pay reparations to all the other chocolates. Hot tamales are attempting to cross our border. Hershey's are now going by them days. You can't even dress your kid up as a Native American, Nazi, and blackface anymore without someone getting offended. Skittles Taste the Rainbow is liberal left-wing code for Skittles do gay stuff. If you watch Hocus Pocus 2, you die 7 days later, like that movie The Ring. Halloween mask mandates don't work. And finally, sugar daddies are grooming our Sour Patch Kids. This has been Fox News Halloween Fearmongering.
Now I'm just getting warmed up.
Happy to see you again.
Don't be nervous. Don't be rocky. You're a teenage guest as jockey now.
And let me begin by wishing you a beautiful look.
Did that voice inside you say, I've heard it all before? It's like deja vu.
Tuesday, October 18th, 2022, 21 days until our election Armageddon. How you doing, kids? You're at jcontheline.com. I'm JC, but I think you probably figured that out. 33 degrees as we hit the podcast world here this morning. Wind chill factor 25. Tomorrow morning could be worse. Let's just see how the whole thing shakes out. There is something to be said for colder weather. I like the fashion changes. You know, the fashion changes are nice. There's something nice about getting a big old scarf on and your big old winter coat and everything like that. And you look good, and you're like, maybe you got something new. And you're like, oh, this is good. I'm gonna look pretty good walking around out here today. And you put all that stuff on. You get your hat on. Make sure your ears are covered. But then you got to ruin it all by actually going outside. And you're like, oh, fuck this. I've talked about this before in the advertising world. So let's just say you're sitting there watching a football game coming up Sunday, right? Sitting there watching a football game. And unless they are selling something that is indigenous to cold weather, like snow tires or winter coats or antifreeze, or when you get closer and closer to the Christmas holiday and you have those two drips who buy each other a Lexus with a big red bow on top. But unless you're selling something, like I said, indigenous to cold weather, 99.5% of the time when something is being portrayed on TV, advertising, and that was, I think about it too, really, like the situation comedy world, even the, you know, the evening dramas, the CSIs, anything like that, it's always nice weather. They're almost never walking around in the snow or the cold, even the cold weather. It almost never happens. It's almost like we live in a country, if you're watching TV, you'd get the idea that the weather never gets bad. Now sit there and think about it for a while, and there are some practical reasons. Obviously, the television film crews and stuff like that, it's easier to work in weather that's nice rather than slush and snow and cold and things that can freeze up their equipment and things like that. Also, the center of the entertainment world where most of these shows are recorded is Southern California, but it really is like cold weather in this country doesn't exist. But, you know, when you think about it, what does almost everybody you know, including yourself, aspire to? someday being able to retire and go someplace where it's warm, usually a beach. How many people that you know retired and then went to someplace that's colder than where you are right now? I can only think of one, and that was my dad. My dad did that. They had a place that they used to go to up in northern Wisconsin, almost all the way to Minneapolis. And they would go up there for the summer, and the summers are just beautiful. I saw the Aurora Borealis up there at my dad's place one night. We were sitting there. We had a little campfire going out. It's just like you would imagine, too, a sort of a little tourism. When I mean little, I mean little. The gas station is also a restaurant, let's put it that way, and a bait shop. I was eating breakfast there once. I was like, just make sure you got the bait separate from the people food, okay? I don't want any worms with my bacon and eggs. But there was a really, really nice lake, and it used to be just little shacks and tiny, just little places that, you know, you'd have to board up for the winter and then every spring. And up there, spring is like July 4th, okay? But they would take the boards off, everything like that, and then you'd sit out there for about 2 months. It was just absolutely beautiful, and there was a lake there. And then the Chicago millionaires found out about the place, and they started knocking those places down and building these, like, you know, $3 million mansions on the lake, which changed things up. But, you know, progress. But like I said, I think my dad, the only person I've ever known who actually moved to someplace colder for his retirement years. And those little communities are very interesting too, because everybody helps one another out. You know, my dad was in his mid-80s, and in the fall, when it was time to sort of, you know, take down the little screen porch that he bought from Menards, you gotta take that thing apart and store it, because otherwise the heavy snow would just, you know, crush the darn thing. You know, you'd always have a half a dozen neighbors over there all helping them out. My dad had a wood-burning stove up there. And I'm telling you, you put one log in this thing and you'd have to take your clothes off. It got so hot in there. And you needed that in that part of the country because, you know, it's like, you know, 35 below with 12 feet of snow out there and everything. But everybody helped one another out. And in fact, when my dad got sick, I never really talked about this before, what had happened is he tried to get out of bed one morning and couldn't do it. And was just, I guess he got out of bed and realized he couldn't really get any further, and so he just laid down on the floor next to the bed, and he used to tutor high school kids from the Indian reservation up there. He would tutor them, and one morning apparently he didn't show up for the tutoring, and they tried to call him. He didn't answer, and they're like, that's not right. That's not like Jim at all. Guy got in his car, drove over, looked through the window, and saw him laying on the floor next to the bed, and they got him to the hospital, and that's how that all happened. Otherwise, story would have even been worse than it was. So there's something to say for those little communities, but I always did question his decision to go someplace colder than Chicago. I just never really got that, but he was happy. He enjoyed it, and the rest, as they say, is history. I'm flying a little blind here today because for some reason my internet is out. So I have a couple of information services, news services, and stuff like that that I subscribe to, and every morning I get up about an hour early and sit down at the computer and start ripping through all of this stuff, and I throw out all the dumb stuff, and I keep the good stuff, and then I begin the podcast, and today I'm not able to do that. So everything you hear is going to be what? I don't know. I'm figuring that out here as we go. Baseball game got rained out last night in New York. Let's see what the forecast is tonight, by the way. It just rained and rained and rained. About, I don't know, 8:30, 9 o'clock last night, I just put up a post. I said, you know, I looked at the radar and the weather forecast, and it's not supposed to stop raining in New York until 10 or 11 o'clock, and that's too late to be starting a baseball game. It's all before they even get going, before the rain, it's too late to start a baseball game. Those games should be starting at 7 o'clock on the head with the ball in the air, as they say. New York weather. It's still raining on Long Island. All right, clouds. Sunny today, 57, 10-mile-an-hour winds. Ooh, clear skies tonight, low 40. All right, that's not terrible. It's awful, but it's not terrible. Light winds, that will help. So they'll get that ball game in tonight. And we're going to find out if both the Yankees and the Dodgers will be eliminated from postseason play. Wouldn't that be great? My favorite meme of the day yesterday is a picture of Michelle Obama. It's a Juris Doctorate, Harvard Law. Below that is a picture of Jill Biden, Doctorate of Education, University of Delaware. And below that is a picture of Lauren Boebert, failed the GED exam twice. Your St. Louis Blues won their home opener the other night, and there will be a new option now. It ain't cheap, $189 a year for the Bally Sports Midwest thing that'll get you the Blues games. 69 of the 82 games being played for the 2022-23 season. $20 a month. It's a lot of money for some people. Another good meme I saw yesterday in an attempt to say, people are always, even Bill Maher is saying, what we got to focus on is our similarities rather than our differences. Nobody's going to do it, but it's a nice thing to say publicly when you're on TV. Why don't we find out all the things that we agree on and then start working backwards from there? Wouldn't that be a great idea? Ain't going to happen. But somebody at least took the idea to heart. And it is a picture, which I'll put this on Facebook later, but it says, I want gay married couples to be able to protect their marijuana plants with guns. And it's a picture of a gay couple and the guy's got an AK-47. I want gay married couples to be able to protect their marijuana plants with guns. All right. It's a start. It's a start. I forgot there were a lot of good ones yesterday. Here's one that says, getting offended by something posted on the internet is like choosing to step in dog shit instead of walking around it. Okay, good point. If you are a regular listener to the podcast, you know that I believe there are two unbelievable-looking women roaming the face of the earth these days. One of them is Emily Ratajkowski. That is on the brunette side. And then on the blonde side is golfer Paige Spiranak, who showed up at one of the baseball games the other night to throw out the first pitch. And she was wearing very, very tight blue jeans. And she looked great, but it was apparent to most that she had packed on about maybe, I would say, 10 to 15 pounds. And it was all in her thighs. And immediately, people start body shaming her. Which, you know, and Paige Spiranak is one of those people. She could put on 50 pounds. And let me just tell you something. She would still be one of the most beautiful blondes roaming the face of the earth. She, by the way, denied the whole thing, saying that it was the stadium lighting that made her look that way. Paige. All right, here's another one. Interviewer asked, okay, what's this 4-year gap on your employment history about? Obviously, somebody interviewing, you know, for a position with some sort of firm, some sort of company, and the interviewer asks the guy, what's this 4-year gap on your employment history about? And the guy says, that's when I went to Yale. And the interviewer says, well, that's impressive. Okay, you're hired. And the guy says, thanks. I really needed the job. Good morning, everybody. I know that for some of you, some of these names are out of your universe. I think everybody knows Jason Sudeikis used to be on Saturday Night Live and now is just really, really racking up the hardware for this Apple TV thing called Ted Lasso, which is wonderful. By the way, it deserves all of the attention and he deserves all the awards he's getting. I never necessarily saw him as somebody who could pull something like this off, but he's doing it. So I think everybody knows him. He was with actress Olivia Wilde for a number of years. And then there's this guy, Harry Styles. Used to be in one of those boy bands called One Direction. He sort of emerged from that as the superstar singer and just did something like, what is it, like 25 straight sold-out nights at Madison Square Garden, set a record. Beat Billy Joel out. So now you know the three names. So Jason Sudeikis was with Olivia Wilde for a number of years. And recently, a couple of years ago, they split up and she immediately, and I mean like went from one bed to the next, went immediately to shack up with Harry Styles. So now it turns out that the former nanny for the two of them, Jason Sudeikis and Olivia Wilde when they were together, says that Jason Sudeikis found out about his wife's affair with Harry Styles from her Apple Watch. She took off for a couple of weeks to do some movie or something like that, and he's looking at this watch and just sort of playing around with it, and all of a sudden all these messages come up, all these flirty texts between the two of them, and then he realized that that was the end. I had somebody I was with for 3.5 years break up with me via email. Stories are beginning to emerge about James Corden. you know, on television, he just seems like this fun-loving, silly comedian who just appears that will just want everybody to have a good time watching his show, and he wants to have a good time doing it. Well, it turns out he may not be a very nice person outside of the television world. There's a couple of restaurants, one in particular, that basically said, we have banned him from the restaurant. He's such a dick, and he was so mean and snotty and abusive with one of our employees, one of our servers. And even after we rectified the problem that he had at the restaurant, it was still wasn't good enough for him, and he was still yakking at this server. And it was like, fine, don't come back. James Corden's degree of phoniness has always bothered me. Kevin Spacey, in another sexual assault trial yesterday, revealed that his father was a neo-Nazi and that his dad often berated him for possibly being gay. Kevin Spacey has a brother who corroborates the story that the dad was a neo-Nazi, but also said that Kevin Spacey is a sick, messed up guy who needs help. The best he gets out of that one is 50-50. eBay has been busy taking down any listings for Jeffrey Dahmer-inspired costume pieces, like glasses and button-down shirts. They violate company policies that include no items that are closely associated with violent felons of the past 100 years. Halloween is coming. Well, let's find out how many cases we have of carbon monoxide poisoning today, as a lot of people's furnaces go on for the very first time, and sometimes for older furnaces or furnaces that haven't been properly maintained in recent years, the first indication that something is wrong with your furnace is that you're dead. Might want to have some of that stuff checked out first, you know? And it's not just this morning, it's the next two mornings on top of that, and then things will regulate a little bit. The first teaser for the sequel of A Christmas Story, well, it's called A Christmas Story Christmas, has been released. Peter Billingsley is back, along with several other cast members from the original. That will be on HBO Max starting on November 17th. Know anybody who has an OnlyFans deal? I'm not talking about a subscription to OnlyFans. I'm talking about somebody who posts things on OnlyFans. I only have one that I know of, but now this Donna DeRico from Baywatch, she was a blonde, but now she's a brunette, and she just started posting things on OnlyFans, and it's all underwear and lingerie and stuff like that, but it's still pretty good. Donna DeRico starred in arguably the worst homemade sex tape ever. Obviously, the Kim Kardashian sex tape was epic. Pamela Anderson, the pictures between Justin Verlander and what's her name? Kate Upton. Those were all stills, but those were, whoa, man. And unlike the sex tapes, which were recorded and either leaked to the press or deliberately put out, the Justin Verlander, Kate Upton pictures were hacked off of her cell phone. Nobody was ever intended to see those, except the two of them. That pro wrestler, Chyna, did a pretty graphic one. The only problem is I didn't want to see her having sex. I just think she was sort of gross looking. But Donna DeRico, years ago, did one with her husband, boyfriend, whatever. And it was the most, and you're like, oh, whoa, look, the Baywatch girl. Oh, this will be good. And you sit there and it's like, wow, was that boring? Who knew Magic Johnson frequented Broadway plays? But apparently he does, at a Broadway theater, had to remove a seat so Magic Johnson could sit comfortably. He is 6'9", and if you've seen him lately, he's also 6'9" across. Journey going to do a 50th anniversary tour with Toto next year. Tickets go on sale Friday, and no, there's no word if Steve Perry has anything to do with this. And Charles Barkley has reportedly signed a 10-year, $200 million deal with TNT. It was on this date in 1990 that I was asked to, and I kindly obliged, when I was asked to MC the world premiere screening of White Palace at the Shady Oak in Clayton. Remember that place? But St. Louis and Glenn Sabin, who died a couple of years after the movie was made. I don't know. He was a very frail-looking guy. They also changed the ending when they made the movie. The way the book ends and the way the movie ends, two different things. For some reason, director Steven Soderbergh, the Sex, Lies, and Videotape, the guy who did most of the Oceans movies, he was there. And people in St. Louis are always trying to pretend we're a bigger city than we are. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with it. You know, you dress up, you get a tuxedo, you get an evening gown, you put on some pearls, you get your hair cut, you really dude yourself out, and you get out in front of the Shady Oak Theater, you walk the red carpet, you go down, and you sit and you watch the movie in an uncomfortable tuxedo or evening gown. They're like, oh, we got to have a Hollywood-style premiere. All right, if you insist. You know, it's just, I was talking about this the other day, about this silliness that has gone on between St. Louis and Chicago for the entire time that I lived in St. Louis. I when I first moved to St. Louis in 1984, I remember thinking to myself, why is everybody so obsessed with Chicago? And I know a lot of it had to do with the Cubs, and a lot of it, probably even more, had to do with the Blackhawks. But that's sports teams. But then it spilled over where St. Louis was always getting people and pushing in front of a camera, trying to claim that, see, St. Louis is better than Chicago because, well, St. Louis is better than Chicago in tons of ways. But it's also silly to try to compare a city, a metropolitan area of 3.5 million to a metropolitan area of 11 million. Chicago is very much an international city. St. Louis is a small town. It's not Oklahoma City. It's not Wichita, Kansas. But, you know, when you're looking at the top 10 markets, Chicago, LA, New York, Detroit, Washington, D.C., Dallas, Houston, you get past those, and then there's a real, real big drop-off in terms of population and prestige and the way the cities are perceived on a national basis. When I got to St. Louis in 1984, I believe St. Louis was market number 18. Now it's 26. Yeah, but there's no problem in St. Louis. We don't have any problems. I'll never forget this night in 2012. Okay, I was living in Chesterfield, and I had a full studio down in my basement, and I had developed a relationship with WGN Radio in Chicago, which was the station that carried both the Cubs and the Blackhawks, 50,000-watt AM, you know, big, big station, and I would do some occasional fill-in, and then I would do a little more fill-in, and they liked what I was doing, so I was getting calls all the time. So it's 10:30 at night, I'm in bed, and I get a call. It's like, that's unusual. Usually somebody calls after 10:30, or, you know, you get one of those calls at like 5:30 in the morning, you're like, oh shit, who died? And I get this call, so against my better judgment, I decided to answer the phone, and sure enough, it's the radio station. Our all-night guy is sick. Can you fill in starting in 90 minutes? And I'm like, hamana, 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 hamana. But I did it. I did it. I did the midnight to 5 a.m. show from my studio in my basement in Chesterfield all the way back to Chicago. Nobody ever knew the difference. Nobody knew that I wasn't sitting right there on Michigan Avenue at the river. And that was a fun gig, too, when I would do it in Chicago. Sometimes, obviously, I'm not going to be able to get to Chicago in 90 minutes, so I would do the show from my basement. But a lot of times I actually went up there and did the show from Chicago, especially if I was going to be on a multiple days or nights. So it was just easier to do it that way. I'd get a hotel, and they would, you know, feed you and the whole thing. So it all worked out great. But they had this studio that was right on Michigan Avenue, and I mean, it was like being a puppy from the Humane Society at PetSmart on Saturday morning. You know, they put those little puppies out there in the little cage, and then people come by and you pick one out, or at least you play with them, whatever. And that's what this studio was like. You had just thousands and thousands and thousands of people from all over the world, keep in mind. Because as I mentioned, you know, Chicago, very much a international city, and people come from, you know, the other side of the world, and just to be able to say they walked the Magnificent Mile in Chicago. And as they're doing that, they would come right past our studio, and it was like this glass box, and you would sit there in this glass box, and people would just come up and push their noses against the glass and watch you do the show. And they had a little speaker outside and everything, so people could hear what you were doing, and people would hold up signs and stuff like that, and you would just sit there and watch the world go by. And I'll be honest with you, at times very, very difficult to concentrate, especially in the summer, as Bruce Springsteen once sang, the girls in their summer clothes. It's hard to believe all that was 10 years ago. Wow. Here's a good philosophical question for the day. Would you be mad to find out the person you're with was still friends with an ex? Well, you better prepare yourself because it's a good chance they are. 54% of us are still friends with at least one of our exes. According to a new survey, that includes 17% who are still friends with all of their exes. I have a hard time believing that. 41% of us claim we wouldn't care if our current partner was still friends with an ex. 23% say they wouldn't mind if they were best friends with them. Do you delete your ex's phone numbers? 23% do it immediately. 25% also scrub them from their social media. 45% change any passwords the ex might know. And 21% of us would expect our friends and family never to talk to them again. Assuming things ended on good terms, would you rather stay friends or have a clean break? The poll found it might depend on who initiated the breakup. If you broke things off, it's more likely you want to stay friends. But if they broke it off, it goes the other way. What a surprise. BU, that would be Boston University, catching heat for creating a new strain of COVID that might be even deadlier. They basically took the original virus and gave it the Omicron spike protein, and it killed 80% of the mice they tested it on. Now, before you panic too much, who, us? They used a type of mouse that's very susceptible to COVID, so they doubt it would be that deadly in people, but they're not 100% sure. It's also one of just 13 labs authorized to handle the most dangerous viruses, so all safety measures were in place. Yeah, just like last time. And this is a little on the dark side for somebody who spent a lot of time in the hospital, not this year, but last year. I was in for what I consider to be a long time, 3 weeks. A new study has found that having a hospital room with a window could increase your odds of survival after surgery by 20%. And have you ever broken the law by throwing something away? These are five common things people throw out, even though you shouldn't do it. For example, batteries. Most states will let you toss standard alkaline batteries like, you know, AA's, AAA's, whatever. California, an exception, though. Other types can have things like mercury in them, so they're illegal to throw out. You're supposed to drop them at a place like Staples instead. Why do I have this thought, this idea that I would go in with a bag of batteries into Staples and hand them to them, and they go, what are you giving me these for? Next thing, old phones, computers, and other e-waste. Most states are making it illegal to throw out your old tech, especially if they have batteries that can't be removed. Again, places like Staples will usually take it all, usually being the operative word. Old medications, if you toss them or flush them, they can end up in the water supply. Your pharmacy might take them for you. The FDA also suggests searching for a drug disposal near me on Google Maps. Old paint, you're not supposed to throw that out. First of all, it's flammable, it's poisonous, so a lot of paint stores and hardware stores will recycle it for you now. Old motor oil is another liquid you shouldn't be tossing out or dumping down the drain. And old tires. Now, tire shops will usually take them off your hands when you get new ones, but there might be a small recycling fee involved in that. Rule of thumb, if you go to a tire place where they charge you money to take your old tires after you've just spent $500 on new ones, find a new tire store. And I remember when Jean-Claude Van Damme came to St. Louis to promote a movie, and I sat with him for about a half an hour in the green room at Channel 5, and this guy was a piece of work. He was probably in his early 20s and just full of the devil. And when I just sort of half-heartedly suggested that maybe he really couldn't do that thing where he spread his legs, like you put a chair over here and a chair over there, and Jean-Claude Van Damme, in a couple of movies, they had this thing where it was like doing the splits in midair. You know how a cheerleader does the splits? Okay, so he was doing that in midair, and he had his ankles basically on each of the chairs. And I just sort of half-heartedly suggested that maybe he really couldn't do that, and that was special effects. Sonovich jumps up off his chair and does it for me in the Channel 5 green room just to prove that he could do it. And somebody was walking by when he was doing this, and they just sort of looked in the room like, the fuck are you guys doing in there? Anyhow, Jean-Claude Van Damme turning 62 today. Someone famous for being able to spread their legs really, really far apart. Long before Kim Kardashian did. And with that, it's the J.C. Corcoran Podcast for Tuesday, October 18th, 2022. 21 days until the midterm clusterfuck. It is 33 degrees above zero in St. Louis this morning with a wind chill factor of 25. Have a nice day. All right, we are here every weekday morning right about this time. Please spread the word. You know, that's the best kind of advertising you can get is when people just say, do you know JC does a podcast every day? And then just give them the website address, jcontheline.com, absolutely free. It's not complicated. You know, I've been on websites where they go, check out my podcast. And you go, and it takes like a half an hour to get through the process. And they want your name, and they want all sorts of information. We don't do that to you. You click JC. Well, you know this because you're already here, but let your friends know. You click on jcontheline.com, you click play, and the thing starts playing. That's about as easy as we can make it. We archive everything right here. You may email me, jc at jcontheline.com, Facebook, the showgram with JC Corcoran. Have a great day, everybody. Stay warm. In the meantime, we've beaten this one to death. Have a good one. See you later.
The JC Corcoran Podcast.